Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Half a gallon of chocolate, half a gallon of chocolate brownie fudge, half a gallon of chocolate chip.
Did your mom really write that shopping list?
Grandpa, what a question.
Chocolate chip. That sounds really good. And of course, that sound right there is from The Simpsons. And we are going to talk ice cream, folks, in this hot, humid weather, especially some unusual flavors. You should see the spread in front of me. I'm sure at some point we're going to take a picture of this, put it in social. So we've got two guests right now. The first, Joe Gatto, who is a local chef and host for the show From Scratch. Joe, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm just staring at the ice cream.
It does look really good. And we also have Gus Rancatori, who's owner of Toscanini's Ice Cream in Cambridge, who doesn't... Our headphones dropped while we're in the transition. So just for now, just say hi, Gus. And
hello.
In a second, Sydney's going to come on in here right now. We're going to do this in front of everybody, and we're going to get some headphones for you so that we can get started. So while we do that, Joe, I want you to tell me your favorite ice cream memory from childhood.
I mean, it's definitely, I mean, I'm sure like a lot of people in Massachusetts, it's going down the Cape, right? Mm-hmm. Down the Cape, the ocean, the beach, black raspberry all day long with my family. You know, I still can taste it and remember it so well. And it's the same for my kids now. They're all addicted to black raspberry. I think it's those memories are what really drive forward for ice cream for, I think, everybody, right?
Yeah. All right. And how about you, Gus? Favorite childhood memory of ice cream?
I think one of my favorite childhood memories might sound ambiguous or ambivalent, but I'm one of five children, and I remember my father confronting the Good Humor Man, who always, you know, wanted to sell us five popsicles. And being a child of the Depression, he was inclined to get those popsicles that could be split in two and divided.
The ones you break in half.
Right, and so we'd get half a popsicle, and he might take one himself. Although it was kind of a frugal memory of a depression baby, but that was a long time ago.
So when you then started, Gus, I'll stay with you for a minute, Toscanini's in 1981,
mm-hmm.
Did you have some sort of mission for ice cream, having had that experience as a kid?
I'd worked for a long time at a place in Davis Square, Somerville, Steve's Ice Cream, which helped start or revive the idea of homemade ice cream and perhaps many other things. And so I'd worked there for a long time, and what I wanted to do was continue to do what Steve's did, which is make unusual flavors in small batches on site, and that's what we'd started doing.
All right, so we're going to have some fun with unusual flavors, and I'm going to lead us into that actually with a voice from one of our listeners. Everyone is excited about this segment today. We've gotten lots of, yay, ice cream. So we reached out to our audience through our texting group to ask them about their favorite places and flavors and memories like we've just been talking about. And by the way, if you want to join that texting group, text the word Boston to 617-766-0382. That's Boston to 617-766-0382. And Cheryl and Mattapoisett shared this particular memory and flavor.
My husband kind of knows I love ice cream and a little bit of an ice cream junkie. So this place called Katie's in Hyannis. And at the end of the season, I had him buy me 5 tubs of lavender honeycomb ice cream. I was absolutely in love with it. And so ever since then, I've been going back. And then eventually I ended up winning one of her contests to create a flavor, and it was glazed donut ice cream.
Okay, so Joe Gatto, maybe I'm just a traditionalist. Lavender honeycomb scares me off a little bit. Glazed donut has me kind of passing out wanting some.
Yeah, I'm going to go all in on that. Yeah, count me in. I want to try that. I want to see what it's all about. I really don't think there's many ice creams I'd turn down, to tell you the truth. I'm all in for all of them. Let's go.
And Gus, is there anything you really can't put in ice cream?
You can put almost anything in ice cream. The question is whether people will enjoy it. And whether the ice cream maker will enjoy it and whether the customer will enjoy it. And at some ice cream stores, I guess I would describe them as having a more transgressive spirit than I really care for. And they're trying to do things that I suspect they intend to annoy your parents or your homeroom teacher with. And at Toscanini's, we're not trying to do that. We may be trying to surprise you. Like, I bet you didn't think this makes a good ice cream flavor, but we're not trying to annoy you.
All right, so surprise me without annoying me with one of the flavors in front of us, and all three of us are going to try it. What's the first one you want us to try that's a little surprising, Gus?
I think probably grape nut, which is a Caribbean flavor that a lot of customers wonder why we make, but it's very popular because we have a lot of people from the islands.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we put raisins in it, and sometimes we make it straight up with just grape nuts. If you go to Caribbean festivals like in neighborhoods in Brooklyn or even Franklin Park, you're going to see grape nut ice cream everywhere. Sort of surprisingly, grape nut ice cream is also popular with people from northern New England and the Maritime provinces. And I don't understand why there's this geographic discontinuity, but it is kind of an anomaly. So at Toscanini's, we either have people showing up for this flavor who are obviously, who still have Caribbean accents, or people who look like they regular readers of Yankee Magazine.
So here's the thing. I actually grew up in Battle Creek, Michigan, and as a child loved grape nut ice cream.
Oh, really?
Absolutely loved it. Yeah, and so we're taking some tastes now. Joe, describe what you're tasting there.
I really liked that it had that crunch. I found that textural part of it fascinating, and that made me want more because I wanted to keep trying it. Because we brought one as well that we made last night that's Chipotle espresso.
So, and that's the one in the big tub here. So, folks, listen, we're tasting ice cream in here. We're going to have you hang with us, but I'm not tasting ice cream today. So I'm going to pull this tray over here for a minute. And, Joe, tell us what's in the – this is the Chipotle here,
that's
right?
That's the Chipotle espresso.
I'm trusting you, Joe.
Yeah, please do, because it's going to surprise you. I mean, we wanted to do something different for today. And we also found that with the spice, the Chipotle, which is a smoked habanero and adobo, that the fats from – the, you know, heavy cream and the milk are going to wrap your tongue, so you're going to get a little heat, but it's going to be tasty.
It's so good. I was so skeptical. And yes, oh, by the way, my mouth on fire a little bit right now.
So you need more ice cream.
Right.
See?
That's right.
See what
it's
I did there?
It's tricky because you're like, then I need more ice cream, but then you're more on fire. And the espresso just,
Right?
Yep.
That's from my father-in-law, Ben. He does a lot of espresso at the house, so I had a grind there he usually gives me, and I use it for rubs for barbecue and stuff that come up during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we wanted to do something for the show, you know, I wanted to do something kind of off the wall, but make it still where it's, you know, really yummy and kind of addictive. So I loved that I left the Chipotles just with little pieces because
I just
felt
got
like,
a piece.
Right, it chews like a cherry, but you still get that little bit of smokiness and heat with that espresso. I thought they played off each other and gave it what I'm always looking for when I'm cooking is balance.
Yeah. So, Gus, on this plate, what's one that's sort of one of your secret favorites? I want to try that, too.
We sell a lot of Indian ice cream flavors, most commonly called kulfi. Which usually has cardamom with chopped almonds and pistachios. But I believe that kulfi actually means frozen dessert. And, you know, because we're in a college town with a lot of South Asian customers, this was kind of an easy flavor to initially sell, and then it showed broadening appeal.
Mm. So I have to tell you, it tastes like a fruitcake if fruitcake tasted good, right? Which I do not think fruitcake take, you know what I'm saying. But this, delicious, the sweet and the cool of it.
If someone gave me this for Christmas, I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But, Cassie, what do you think?
Can I give you a taste of this?
Yep. So Joe's daughter is here in the studio. She's a little one, so she's not mic'd, but she's tasting along as we go. Cassie, do I have a thumbs up on that? No, we got a medium thumb.
Medium.
I think this might be an age thing, right? My palate was a lot more adventurous. So let's have you both talk about that a little bit. Young palates versus older palates and what people want in ice cream accordingly. Go ahead, Joe.
I mean, I really do think, I mean, we were just talking back and you know, it is age appropriate. You know, kids want something that's simple, that's yummy, that, you know, where, I mean, I do too. I'm still looking for that. But I also like something that challenges my palate and that's interesting and that makes me think, wow, how did they put these flavors together? That last one that you compared to fruitcake, I think was, I mean, that was really complex and I really liked eating it. It made me want more. And I think that when you get older, you are looking for that. But of course, I'm also looking for that simple, I just want to sit on a wall and just lick a cone of vanilla.
Yeah. Anything in this tray that is along that simpler line that you brought, Gus?
Well, there's French vanilla, and we also brought over two kinds of chocolate ice cream. We brought over a milk chocolate. And we brought over a dark chocolate.
Sorry, did I reveal that out loud? I wasn't sure if I kept that to myself or
so
not.
So that's this one.
All right, this is the dark chocolate. I'm going to lean away. I'm leaning away to get my spoon. I'm going to taste it first. Tell us simple ingredients here, Gus.
Most of these ingredients are simple, although they're fairly high quality. So that cocoa pudding ice cream, which is what we call our dark chocolate, is made with imported cocoa from France, I think. And the Belgian chocolate, which is the milk chocolate, is made with chocolate from a famous chocolate company in Belgium. And over the years, we've got all sorts of help in developing flavors from vendors and very informed customers. And I remember these two people who were early distributors to us, and they said, you know, just use different chocolates and you'll get dramatically different flavors. And, you know, sometimes when you're looking at cookbooks or when you're at a restaurant and you wonder, why does this taste so much better than something I could do at home or have done at home? The answer is simply they get better ingredients.
Sourcing, yeah.
Sourcing's really important.
So I got to confess to you, up until this very moment, my all-time favorite ice cream was chunky chocolate pudding from Bedford Farms, which I still love, so shout out to Bedford Farms. But what is this called, Gus, this chocolate thing?
Well, this is just cocoa pudding.
Cocoa pudding. Holy cannoli. So now I think cocoa pudding might now be my favorite. All right, so I'm going to bring us back to the childhood memory a little bit. We got another call from one of our listeners, Richard in Braintree, about memories of making ice cream at home with his dad.
My father was the champion ice cream maker for the whole family. He had a wooden bucket with a hand crank type thing and a metal cylinder into which you would put all of the ingredients. You could put almost anything in there, strawberry, peach, make vanilla if you wanted to. So it was a wonderful treat during the summertime for a young boy and great memories.
So Joe Gatto, you are the From Scratch Chef. You are the make it at home guy.
Yeah.
So I'm completely intimidated about the thought of making ice cream at home. De-intimidate me.
This is just a very simple process. I mean, you're using ingredients that you typically have at home. You're using milks, heavy cream. You can make it simple. I think it's called a Philadelphia style when there's no eggs involved in it, right? And I mean, you can take the eggs out of the equation and just go with simple milk, heavy cream, sugar that you're just melting down into the, you know, you can steep espresso. I mean, the one I made, it took us like 20 minutes to make and then 20 minutes in the ice cream machine. An ice cream machine is going to make it super simple. This is something you can really do with ease at home and still get a really quality product. But I think what Gus said is exactly right. It's all about your ingredients. You want to get the best high quality ingredients. And you're going to get a really good product. I mean, this is so easy. It's like making pasta at home. It sounds like it's crazy and it's going to take forever, but it doesn't. It's really simple, very approachable, and great to do with the kids.
All right. And Gus Rancatori of Toscanini's, if one is going to start with a simple flavor, what's your favorite most simple to start with?
I'll change that question and tell you some flavors that I think are hard to make at home, which everyone tries.
Okay.
Strawberry. Strawberries in the United States are grown to be big and durable, and they don't have as much flavor as you might remember if you grew up on a farm or had the fortune to live in France. There are flavors like coffee ice cream or variations on coffee, chocolate, peanut butter. These are kind of rich ingredients that come across very quickly in ice cream. The other thing is if you're only going to make ice cream like once a year or twice a year, because someone gave you an ice cream maker for Christmas and so let's use it this year, you're not going to get very good results. If you make ice cream once a month, it's going to be dramatically better. You're going to become familiar with what you're doing and begin to recognize some of the things that happen.
I think a lot of listeners will be like, okay, so the commission is make ice cream every month at home. It's really the only way to do it.
Oh, I got every week out of that. Sorry.
All right. And listen, before we let you go, Joe Gatto, you also accidentally made a vegan ice cream recently. And we have a lot of vegans who listen, so tell us.
Just using coconut milk. And like it just kind of came together really quick with a little vanilla, just coconut milk. I had a little coconut creamer. And next thing you know, we're popping it in the ice cream maker. And again, I think Gus is making so many great points. When you're familiar with what it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to react, it was really simple. And it came out fantastic.
Delicious.
It was really, really easy. Just a little bit of sugar. That's all we add. Oh, actually, no, it was monk fruit.
Mm. So you didn't even add sugar?
No.
Monk fruit. All right, there you go. Joe Gatto is host of From Scratch, and Gus Rancatori is owner of Toscanini's Ice Cream. It has been a delight, the two of you. Thank you so much.
I'm going to eat all of this ice cream.
There we go. All right, there's more ahead. This is Radio Boston.